Well, this is Jim Fetzer, a guest hosting for Daniel. I'm simply delighted to be back with the Power Hour Nation. There are two major issues I want to discuss today, and I have special featured guests, both of whom are investigative journalists of long standing. I want to begin with issues related to the coronavirus and the vaccine and the pandemic and the mask wearing and all that, where many states are now emancipating themselves, but where the risk of just wearing masks are simply vastly greater, more extensive and dangerous than the public has been informed. And I want to let you know where you can find more information about it and what you might do about it. I have Stephanie Sledge with me here. Those who are longtime listeners of the show will know Stephanie's made many appearances on the Power Hour in the past, and I'm just delighted to have her here today. She's been a very strong, courageous, feisty, outspoken about the mask business and has even a personal story to tell about it. My second guest, who will come on the second part of the show, Tom Lipscomb, has been a senior fellow at the Annenberg Center for the Digital Future. He's broken stories about the military records of John Kerry and George W. Bush in the past, founded Times Books at the New York Times Company, and is doing a new book on JFK. Tom will be talking about a newly released transcript, Lynn Wood, of an insider who's talking about degrees of corruption, sordid and lurid as they are, that we need to understand how it's possible for the deep state to manipulate high-ranking public figures here in the United States. To begin with, however, I want to observe that we have mask-burning parties going on in Idaho, for example, a glorious state to behold, where normal Americans are over the mask, over the lockdown, over the media hysteria. But it's not all over with the radical left, which wants Americans to remain paralyzed with fear and under the lockdown control of the Democratic Party, which is, of course, being promoted by Joe Biden. Whereas I've explained before on this show, the guy that we're seeing on television who's mumbling and incompetent and losing his way isn't even the original Joe Biden, the real senator from Delaware. I've been making this point since the first debate that we had a different guy who is standing in for the senator himself. Well, there's much more to that I'll mention by and by. But in the meanwhile, I want to let you know that the issues revolving masks are extremely serious, and there's much to say about it. Stephanie, welcome to back to the Power Hour. It's so great to have you here.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, and it's always an honor to be talking to you, and I'm honored to be back on the Power Hour.
Well, you've been a very popular guest. I know when I booked you for this show, I got a very positive response from the producer because of your past appearances. Tell us your latest take. There are so many serious issues related to masks that the public needs to understand. For example, on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, I have published a piece, 20 reasons mandatory face masks are unsafe, ineffective, and immoral. They include a series of calamities, bad effects, where they don't protect you from the coronavirus. So number one, they don't help you. And number two, they actually hurt you. Let me mention a few of the issues that are related here in this wonderful article by John C.A. Manley. First, cavities. New York dentists are reporting half their patients are suffering decaying teeth, receding gum lines, and seriously sour breath from wearing masks. Facial deformities. Masking children triggers mouth breathing, which has been shown to cause long, narrow faces, narrow mouths, high palatial vaults, dental malocclusion, gummy smiles, and many other unattractive facial features. Acne vulgaris. Moisture and germs collecting in the face mask causes skin lesions, Irritant dermatitis, worsening acne, can lead to permanent scarring, linked to depression and suicidal thoughts. Very serious. Increased risk of COVID. Get this. By wearing a mask, the exhaled viruses will not be able to escape and will concentrate in the nasal passage, enter the olfactory nerves, and travel into the brain. So you actually can get an increased risk. Meanwhile, bacterial pneumonia. This is very, very serious. Reports coming from all over the world suggest bacterial pneumonias are on the rise as a result of moisture collecting in face masks. We know Anthony Fauci engaged in a serious study of the swine flu at the start of the 20th century, which brought about tens of millions of deaths, and they discovered most of the deaths were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia. And now we know that face masks promote bacterial pneumonia, raising serious questions about why this man, who knows better, would be suggesting we wear two or three or even four masks. Stephanie, I find all this just stunning and disgusting beyond belief.
Well, it's definitely disgusting beyond belief, and I could probably even use harsher words than that. And I mean, I agree with everything that you said. You know, masks are, they're just destroying humans. And it's not just here in America. It's all over the world. And it actually makes me angry to see people wearing their masks, you know, like they're good little muzzled humans and complying with all of this. It's an outrageous attempt to not only, you know, see how far they can push us to comply with government, but also, you know, it's destroying our society, you know, and it's a form of silencing as well, Jim.
Oh, absolutely, Stephanie. Go, tell us about your recent encounter. I thought it was admirable, and you set an excellent example for the entire nation when we went down to deal with a minor traffic ticket. You wanted to pay it off and tell us a story, Stephanie. I love this.
Well, yeah, I will admit I'm very defiant. I'm kind of like a feral cat in a way. You know, I grew up, you know, in the Midwest, and like most Americans, where the government is not, you know, we the people are above the government, and the government to me is just, you know, they're all a bunch of swampy swamp. That's the swamp. And, you know, I was notified the other day by mail that I had an unpaid traffic ticket that was 5 years ago, which I know I paid in cash. But after arguing with the lady at the court about it, you know, they basically threatened me if I don't pay it, then they're going to put a warrant out for my arrest. So I live in West Virginia, but this was in Maryland, so I had to cross the border into Maryland and go to the courthouse. And, you know, I decided, you know, when I pulled up that I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to. And I don't wear a mask anywhere, and I'm not going to wear one here at the courthouse either. And so I walked in, and as soon as you walk in the courthouse, there is, you know, you have to go through the metal detector and put all your stuff, you know, where they search it. And there was a gentleman there and two others that were wearing security badges, and they were sitting in a chair. So I put all my stuff in there. I walked through the metal detector. And when I got to the other side, the gentleman said, "Ma'am, you need to come back here. You're not done filling out. We've got paperwork that you need to do." And he said, and besides that, he's like, "You need to be wearing a mask." And I said, "No, I don't need to be wearing a mask." And he said, "Yeah, you do. If you're going to be in this building, you're going to wear a mask." And I said, "You know what? I'm not wearing a mask." I said, "It is not a law." And he said, "Yeah, it is a law, ma'am." And I said, "No, it's not a law. It's a mandate, unconstitutional mandate, that the governor of Maryland placed here, and it doesn't apply to me." And he argued with me, and so another lady had come in that was right behind me, and she was waiting to get through the metal detector. And so he pushed me off the side and started asking her questions like, you know, have you been around anybody that's coughed in the last 7 days? Or have you been around anybody that's had a fever in the last 30 days? And she was answering, wearing her mask, and she was complying. And so he let her through. And then another gentleman came in, and the man at the door just said to me, he's like, well, ma'am, I need to ask you these questions, and then we'll discuss whether you're going to go upstairs or not to pay your fine. And so he started asking me, have I been around anybody in the last 7 days? And I just flat out told him, this is none of your business. This is my, you can't ask me medical questions. That is confidential. And besides that, you're asking me medical questions in front of other people. And, I mean, he was just floored. I don't think anybody's ever come up against, you know, the mask wearing. I think people that go into that court system, you know, they'll just comply with anything. But I wasn't going to comply, and I was just going to let him know right off the bat, you know, I'm not wearing a mask. This is not a law. And you are not allowed to ask me medical questions, let alone make me sign the medical questions like the lady in front of me did. And then he took her temperature. And I just refused it. And so, you know, he told me that if I wasn't going to wear a mask, that I wasn't going to be allowed to go up on the second floor to pay my fine. And the gentleman behind me was actually laughing, and he pulled his mask down. And I think he was, you know, actually very happy to see somebody was going up against their mask mandate. And so I told him, well, if you're not going to allow me up on the second floor, then you're just going to have to go pay my fine for me. And so I handed him my check, and he just passed it off to the guy behind him, and I made him go up and pay my fine. I was not going to put a mask on. And, you know, it was really satisfying for me to let them know that it was not a law. Now, the gentleman did threaten me. He told me that he hopes that I never have to come to court here. And I asked him, I said, oh, are you threatening me that I'm not going to wear a mask, that something might happen if I ever have to come to court here? And he's like, no, I'm not saying that. He's like, but he's like, you have to wear a mask. You won't be let into the court systems here. And so I waited there. He let other people through. They were wearing their masks. I was not wearing a mask. And then the other gentleman came down and gave me a receipt. So, I mean, you know, we don't have to wear a mask. It's time to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to comply with this. It's unconstitutional. And, you know, the whole world is looking at Americans to figure out what to do about this. And here we are, you know, not me, and, you know, a lot of people that are standing and rising against this, but the majority of people, you go everywhere, grocery stores, the dollar store, out at restaurants, you know, they just will not take their masks off. Quite irritating, Jim.
Oh, yes, Stephanie, you're 100% correct. And I loved it when you set them straight that there's no law, that the legislatures haven't passed any law about this, that these are mandates from the governor that do not have the force of law. Most Americans don't understand that. They think that they're required to wear masks. There's nothing in the Constitution or the law that allows dictation about these health procedures, where the whole matter of how this pandemic has been handled, especially under the supervision of Anthony, I call him Tony the Rat Fauci, has been wrong from the beginning. In the past, pandemics have been dealt with by quarantining the sick and taking measures to protect the vulnerable. But in this case, they're quarantining the healthy. And everything they're doing, Stephanie, from face masking to lockdowns to social distancing, weakens our immune system. So once we get back, if we ever do, and they don't seem to want us to ever be able to take off our masks, that we're more vulnerable to threats in the environment from viruses, bacteria, and fungi than we would have been had we not gone through this process. where we need fresh air, sunlight, and exercise to keep our health robust. Here are several other of the 20 points made about the risk involving masks I want to add. Germophobia. Masks create an irrational fear of germs and a false sense of protection from disease, leading to antisocial or even hostile behavior toward those not wearing a mask, on the order or even more severe than what you encountered and have just described, Stephanie. Toxic. Many, if not most, masks and face coverings, including cloth, are made with toxic and carcinogenic chemicals, including fire retardant, fiberglass, lead, polyfluorinated chemicals, and formaldehyde that will outgas and be inhaled by the wearer. Psychologically harmful. The real threat now, and this is from Dr. Joseph Mercola, who's been brilliant in exposing all of this, is what we're doing to sabotage the mental, emotional, and physical health of our children, whose development is dependent on social interactions, physical contact, and facial expressions. Between face mask wearing and social distancing, I fear the impact on children in particular may be long-term, if not permanent. Psychologically harmful, that's a key. And it's so serious, Stephanie, that the risk of suicide for children now, get this, American children are 10 times more likely to die from suicide than from COVID. Here's a report about it. Fair Health, F-A-I-R Health, assessed 32 billion private insurance claims and published a study, the impact of COVID-19 on pediatric mental health, that showed the COVID-19 pandemic has had a profound impact on mental health, especially for young people, as they face stress and loneliness from school closures, isolation, and remote learning. Tucker Carlson has reported on this, explaining children are 10 times more likely to die from suicide than from the coronavirus are meant to be protected from. His guest, Dr. Mark Harry, a professor from Johns Hopkins, noted that among children aged 13 to 18, insurance claims for intentional self-harm were up 90% compared to the previous year and up 300% in heavy lockdown areas. And, of course, the explanation is obvious. Young people need social interaction and mutual support with other children their same age to maintain their mental health. And, Stephanie, many Americans have no idea that if they suffer any harm from these vaccinations, and in Israel, which has the highest percentage of the population vaccinated, they're reporting a staggering number of deaths, so many they're describing it as a new Holocaust. A new Holocaust. It turns out that all of these pharmaceutical companies are immune from liability. So if you suffer brain damage or Bell's palsy, you have half your face frozen, or if you even die, they have no liability. Insurance companies will even not fulfill life insurance policies because these vaccines are experimental. And because they're experimental, they won't even pay off on life insurance. So Americans, get real about this and understand you're placing your health and your life at risk by taking these vaccines. They are more likely to harm you than they are to help. Oh, Stephanie, it's a cause of immense distress to me that we are being played.
Oh, we're definitely being played. And it makes me angry, too. And I'm also another person that has, I'm very grateful. My mother never vaccinated me, and I did not vaccinate my children. And, I was just reading earlier a study about, the teachers union in California put out this ridiculous video about how, the children, in order to come back to school, it's structural racism unless everybody gets vaccinated. And, you know, I do not want a world like this for my grandson. You know, I want America back. I want my children to live in freedom. I want my grandchildren to live in freedom. And, you know, another thing, too, when I was at the courthouse the other day, when I, you know, was arguing with this gentleman, telling him that it was not a law, and he told me, yeah, it is a law. You know, I straight out told him, well, why don't we get the sheriff here and see what he has to say? And he absolutely had no way to respond to that. And, you know, that's another thing. This, you know, I'm a member of the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And I watched Sheriff Mack's recent webinar the other day. And you can go to the CSPOA.org and join. And it's lots of people are signing up now that they know that we're going to have to take this country back county by county. And what we're going to have to do is hold our sheriff responsible. And, you know, I cannot tell you how much it literally makes me angry that somebody is going to tell me I have to be vaccinated or I have to, you know, comply with this. I'm just not going to do it. And these vaccinations are not safe. Now, Jack Mullen had a great interview with you the other day, and he spoke about, you know, what these vaccinations, you know, especially the COVID-19, and how it's, you know, it's going to redesign human DNA and create patent products from those receiving the
technology. We're going to come back with Greg. We'll catch up with you by and by. I'm going to be bringing in Thomas Lipscomb next, and then we'll return to Stephanie. Stan, thanks for being here, Power Hour Nation.
We're not very superstitious here at the Power Hour, but your lucky number this week is 17. Why? Because we have 17 products from the North American Urban Spice at a discounted rate of 10%. 10% off all North American Urban Spice products today all the way through this Sunday. Check out the full line of North American Urban Spice products at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
I've been taking the curcumin for so many years. I'm up there in age, and I don't have any aches or pain. I haven't taken aspirin or anything of that nature for so many years. If I get a little nagging and I feel maybe a headache's coming on, I'll take about 5 or 6 curcumin, and it's gone. Pain is inflammation. I have always found that if I just take 5 or 6 curcumin, it'll blow it away within 15 minutes.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Now more than ever, we need your support. Jay's standing by to take your call. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optavita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your Manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We know you like savings, and we know you like Strauss. Strauss Natural Products, 10% off this entire week. From now through this Sunday, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get a 10% discount on all our Strauss products. Right now, through the end of the week, or online at thepowermall.com. Buy from the good guys, buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
This is Jim Fetzer standing in for Daniel today. I'm just delighted to be back to the Power Hour, where I have two special guests for you today. You've heard from Stephanie Sledge, and you're about to hear from Tom Lipscomb, too, where Lynn Wood, who is the well-known attorney who's been blowing a lot of whistles, revealing a lot of secrets of the deep state, where in relation to the decision of the Supreme Court to not hear the Texas lawsuit, he exposed that the Chief Justice has powerful anti-Trump bias, including a phone conversation overheard or recorded between him and Associate Justice Stephen Breyer, where the Chief Justice was telling Breyer he won't let that mother effer get reelected. Those were the words of the Chief Justice. And where Lynn Wood has further explained that the justice appears to have been compromised by having adopted a couple of children with the assistance of Jeffrey Epstein. Well, the plot has grown far deeper and more sordid since, where Lynn Wood has released the testimony of a whistleblower about how the deep state was conducting electronic surveillance on political interests, key players, where Rod Rosenstein of the Department of Justice was one of the key players, where Hillary Clinton had a plan that you're going to find very difficult to believe. It is so stunning, to take out members of the Supreme Court so she could replace them with her own, and other revelations about Mike Pence and eventually leading up to Joe Biden that are completely stunning. You can find this. It's linked to the show today. Notice you'll find three links. If you go to the schedule for today online, the first link is to scientific studies about the use of face masks. The second link is to the report I've been giving about 20 different reasons why face masks are harmful. And the third is a link to the whistleblower testimony released by Populist Press. Let me read a part of this. Their plans were written out. They had maps, they had surveillance, they had quite a bit of equipment. This was where they were going to take out members of the Supreme Court. What was the time like they were hoping to do this in? This would be right after, within the first year of Hillary Clinton's presidency. She was not supposed to lose. So this was all planned up, and it was more than just that. It was twofold. They wanted to pack the court and take out as many as they could. Roberts was actually helping because he didn't want to be one of them, and he wanted some choice in who would be on the bench after that. He wanted to maintain some form of control, so he did provide information. But this was to be done within the first year of Hillary Clinton's campaign so that they could ban firearms as well and impact the court, so they'd have plenty of time to do that. That was their main two main goals. Do you believe the death of Antonin Scalia was a part of the same plot, or is that, do you know if that was a separate? It was the same people. He was a backup plan. He was their biggest threat, being the most controversial justice. Justice Scalia, actually, I believe he found out about this, the plans, and he went to the White House. Like a week before his death, I believe he found out that what they were trying to do when they moved away from the overall attack of where these people lived, or, you know, they would attack around the holidays when more than one justice would be in their home, things like this. And again, Roberts was providing this, but they had to take him out. He was seen as their biggest obstacle. So the same basic group that was involved were given access to the ranch where he was found. They talked about how they did it. They had a couple different options, but it was discussed prior to his death what they intended to do, where they could possibly do it, how they could do it, who they would need. The records are there at the Cibolo Ranch. One person was brought in. There was three men. One person was brought in as a temp worker. The other two, same team, were brought in as servants for a group that was there hunting. And they discussed how it was done, that they used DIPSO, dimethyl sulfoxide, which is a fairly inert chemical. It just goes through your skin. But if you mix it with a poison or a drug or something like that, it'll go directly in your system and overload you. I believe that's why he was found with a pillow over his face. He was struggling to breathe. He couldn't breathe. He was choking. And this particular chemical, you can tailor it to the person. If they have a drug problem, you could put a fentanyl in it and overdose them. If they have a heart condition, it would take very little to go directly in. It would be like a direct injection into the heart. And they talk about how they did it. And Roberts is on the phone with these people discussing the successor, that he wanted a say in it because now it was only going to be one person, and he wanted to pick that person, and he wanted a say in who was going to take it. And, of course, there was a lot of people who were talking about Eric Holder taking it, all kinds of people. But he wanted a say in who was going to take over Justice Scalia's spot, and I don't think he got it. I mean, obviously it didn't happen, because President Trump was here, but he did want it. And this was all prior, the discussions and him complaining that he wasn't getting any say prior to his death, his son's death. So it was well known. And so aside from Roberts being involved in this, did Rosenstein or anyone else outside of the White House, had they been made aware? Tom, you have a vast history as an investigative journalist. I'm going to wager that you have never read anything as explosive or sordid or disheartening as what you are finding here in these transcripts. And I'm right?
When the Supreme Court waived any interest in the Texas applications on the election, it was the end of the constitutional republic of the United States of America. I mean, that amounts to a 400 megaton bomb on our entire system. What this document purports to expose, and I say purports because I'm a journalist, I'm not a believer in anything. I want to shake and bake something before I sign off on it. But this is an extraordinary document. It explains intelligently a lot of the phenomena we've been watching. It's certainly true that we've all been watching now for years. Cases go into the Department of Justice, the FBI, et cetera. Big cases like the Democrats' server being compromised, like what happened to Seth Rich? And they disappear. They completely fall off the earth. We never hear about them again. Most recently, the gal shot in the Capitol by a lieutenant who's part of the Capitol Police. Not a word about who shot her or what their justification is. We had the gal who was killed by five Capitol policemen who was in a car, who was disturbed with a baby in the car, and they line up around her car, inches away from her, and execute her. No further ramifications. We've been seeing abuses using the federal justice systems of one kind or another now for 8 years, okay? So this document that Lynn Wood, at least this appears to be a transcript done at the request of Lynn Wood by a legal transcript firm. And there are such firms, and they go do depositions for lawyers all the damn time. So although I don't have any idea who the source is, it's an extraordinary document, and you need to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. It's got some interesting problems, though, Jim, just so I can get one. For example, all right, Roberts wanted to make sure his guy got on, and you're saying he didn't. Well, who was his guy? This guy should know, but he doesn't mention it. I find that interesting because he's very complete about things, and I that's one thing that I found convincing about the document. He does a 360 on each of these various incidents he's involved with, and he does name names, and he does name occasions that we have documented. We know it happened like this, and his explanations are excellent. But right there, the kind of stuff I'm going to dig in on when I get a chance to look at this more thoroughly is – what kind of questions that he's sitting on do we want Lynn Wood to get answers for?
Oh, I think that's great, Tom. I agree with that 100%. And notice, you see, Barack Obama appears to have been involved in this, so that if Scalia had gone to the White House to tell Obama what was going on, I mean, it was like signing his own death warrant, as I read this transcript.
I don't see Obama, and I think the great story of Obama, when we finally get it, is that he was just cruising. He was doing nothing, making no decisions. He was in effect like you use the gold stick and pick up sticks. You know, it has no value in and of itself, but it can be used to pry other things loose. I think Obama was a big, lazy lout like he'd been all his life. He'd never done a damn thing in his whole life. Everything was a facade. So I don't think going to Obama, all you're going to guarantee is Obama is going to say to Holder, I don't know who this guy is, but you better talk to him. And he, whatever Holder wanted to do would be fine with him. You know what I mean? So the whole notion we all had that Obama was going to go to Castle Kalorama and be running things from behind, et cetera, I don't think is true. I think we were all, those of us, and I was one of them, who thought that might be the scenario. That's why he's hanging around Washington. It appears by looking at the way the president is being run now, it's other people who are running all this stuff. And it looks like they may be the same people who are behind the actions that Lynn Wood's transcript is talking about.
Tom, tell us more. Tell us more about your take on what's going on now. Of course, in the later portions of this transcript, there is very disturbing information about Joe Biden and a history of pedophilia. I mean, a history. I remember way back when Chris Coons was sworn in as a junior senator from Delaware by the then vice president, who had in the past been the senior senator from Delaware. And after the ceremony, he leaned over to his daughter and he said to her, picked up by a hot mic, "Do you have any idea how horny it makes me to be standing next to a 13-year-old girl?" It was quite the sensation at the time, Tom. There were several articles published about it. When you go back now, you'll find they bleeded the audio tape, so you can't hear him saying the words, but I heard him say the words at the time live, and it was shocking.
The thing about the progressives is their utter fixation on sex. Okay, we can see it in everything they do, legislation, the changes they want in education, bathrooms, whatever. They're utterly obsessed with sex. So the fact that a great many of the controls that are being alleged in this Linwood transcript are through sex doesn't surprise me a lot. Okay. You can go all the way back to a play called The Best Man back in the 60s, and we've been aware that there's been a secret sexual current going through Washington and politicians that we're not aware of, the same way Ben Bradley and the whole press corps concealed Jack Kennedy's dalliances, all of which they were very well aware of. The American people have been somehow carefully kept away from these extraordinary activities for 60 years now, which is, I think, what makes reading this document really very important.
Very, very good, Tom. And I'm very interested in your thoughts about who's actually running the show. I mean, it's not this guy whom I've been explaining since the first debate. Is not actually Joe Biden, the senator, but it's an actor playing the role of Joe Biden. They have different color eyes. James Woods was the first to notice he has brown eyes. Biden has blue. He's got a different shape of his skull, slightly narrower. He appears to be cognitively more competent, or at least in the beginning, which was the reason they brought him in. Most distinctively different ears. Biden's ears curl up.
There's a whole other thing you need to talk about before going there, Jim. We don't have a press anymore, okay? I was in the press when there was a press, and anything we could get our hands on that would expose anybody, we didn't care who, we ran with. We wanted to find out what was really going on, and it didn't matter whether it was Flight 800 or it was a stock market deal with the top politicians. We wanted to find it. This press today is economically a totally different being. You couldn't buy a press that, as A.J. Liebling said, buys ink by the barrel and paper by the carload. Okay, but now it's only bits and bytes. It's cheap to run. Yes, there's no advertising support, but it's cheap to run. And so instead of mass marketing, you've got target marketing. And what that means is the press today depends upon various small groups that can support a digital publication at a higher price that are almost always one or two issue oriented, no matter what the publication is. And that means that to be a reporter, and these jobs are like musical chairs, they're taking chairs away all the time, 60,000 jobs here, 30,000 jobs there, you have to have access, which means basically they're nothing more than PR agents of their whoever their sources are, can run the press. So when we have this giant change in our government, which is basically evading the electorate. The objective is to run the government without having to worry about the electorate by any means, fair or foul. And where there are still institutions that have got old people in it that are not part of the new game, you eliminate them. This whole new game only works if the press is in the least interested in why Joe Biden's in the basement all the time. That the press can't contrast an appearance at some place in Cleveland of 25,000 people for Donald Trump and 30 people spaced around a hall in Delaware. I mean, if the press doesn't find that interesting, and the American people found it interesting, but the press doesn't look into it and say, what's going on here? Wouldn't it be great to expose a totally charade candidacy with a plot to make the vice president president after a certain period of time, after we finally turn on the TV cameras and the lights and let Joe give his State of the Union message and end up drooling and falling down at the podium? Now we bring her in under the 25th Amendment. We've set it all up that way. That's what we're looking at. Stage managing works when there are no critics, when nobody is looking behind the curtain. And that's where we are right now. It's whatever they show us. Blue eyes, gray eyes, who cares? The press doesn't care. The people aren't informed. So now they're shutting down all the digital media and controlling what the people can get by other means. We're in a terrifying time. As Lord Grey said in 1914, the lights are going out all over, and they may never be lit again in our lifetimes.
Tom, those are very sobering thoughts, and I think completely accurate. I mean, the very idea that this guy could have got the most votes in the history of any candidate when he spent 35 years running for president, hadn't won a single primary or a caucus until South Carolina, when Google appears to have come to his aid by sending out vote reminders to those they expected to vote Democratic, where he spent his whole campaign in a basement, where he told us that the party had put together the biggest voter fraud operation in history, and subsequently that he didn't need our help being elected, but only after he were in office. I mean, those are such
The problem is the press doesn't find any of that interesting. As a matter of fact, they don't think you should be talking. They think you're irresponsible. They think you're shaking Americans' faith in our electoral system. And in effect, you're being anti-democratic by raising what are nothing but conspiracy theories like the ones you've just said. And they'll shut you down over it. And they're allowed to.
Well, Tom, continue. It's just absolutely.
Well, so the question is, if you can't get people to even look at Linwood's transcript here and give Linwood hell over it, that's okay with me. I want to know. All right, Lynn, what are you trying to do here? How did you ascertain this was a credible source? You've obviously spent a lot of money getting this transcript. How do you satisfy yourself that you want to release this under your name? You know, I want to know the answer to questions like that. I want to know why Lynn is doing this. I think I know, and I think his motives are pure. Okay, but I want a chance to grill him on it. But what he tends to do, and it's not a good idea in my opinion, he tends to drop this stuff on us, whatever his claims are, and then disappear. The conservatives don't spend any time grilling him. You know, they act like his putting it out is accredits it somehow. Well, it does to some extent. He's a credible lawyer. But basically, he's got to be probed. Sidney Powell has to be probed. Rudy Giuliani. All the conservative spokespeople, not only do the liberals need a lot of questions asked, and they get away with murder because they control the press, academia, the media, the nonprofits, all the assorted professional associations. I mean, you do anything that the left doesn't like, and you catch it 20 ways from Sunday, as well as lose your job. But conservatives can show that they're fastidious about wanting to be sure their sources are good, too. I mean, for example, I was extremely interested in this take on what happened to Seth Rich, because what is the end result here? Another one of these strange disappearances of a case. We've got the head of WikiLeaks imprisoned and ready to be transported to the United States on the basis of what? On the basis of being able to shut him up so he can't tell what he knows about the Seth Rich case. That's why he's taken out of action.
Yes, and that's so telling. I mean, it's just unbelievable where Seth was disillusioned.
Well, and it's done,
and he wasn't.
It's, It's done during Trump's administration. He doesn't do a damn thing about it.
About which part?
About imprisoning, about going after the Wikipedia guy. Why not give him a pardon?
Yes, yes, yes. Several of us thought that was a really good idea. Julian Assange, the Seth Rich thing is so shocking, where Seth was an IT guy for the DNC. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter. He was disillusioned at the way Debbie Wasserman Schultz was sabotaging his campaign, transferring, for example, 13 primaries Bernie had won to Hillary's column to guarantee she would be the nominee. So yep. he downloaded these files in real time directly from the server and appears to have transmitted them to Julian Assange by way of Craig Murray, who was the UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, where they both stated they know who the leaker was, that there was no hacking, Russian or otherwise, and he wasn't Russian, and offered a reward for, you know, leading to the arrest and conviction of those who killed him. It's such a sordid story, where my sources suggest it was John Podesta who put out the story that he wanted to stop leaks, and he didn't even care if the evidence as to who was responsible was decisive or not. We'll be right back here on the Power Hour with Stephanie Sledge and Tom Lifskin. Thank you for being here with us today.
And harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature. Unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure, but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all-natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.